Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Storyboards on A Team of Voices. A Team of Voices is brought to you by a group located on poetry.com. I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to share our poetry. A special thanks to AP Taylor for sponsoring the Blog Talk page. And of course, as always, a special thanks to Deborah Lee for running the group and the Blog Talk so we can geek out live. I am your host, Skye, and tonight on Storyboards, we are celebrating a very short series, two volumes, and each episode was no more than about 25 minutes. Some of them were only like 13, 15 minutes. They were pretty awesome. They were non-canon, so it didn't have any of the characters that we know, and I really liked that about it. It was like this weird little Star Wars fandom series that was just completely, every episode was a short story of its own, a very short story, and I thought they were done really well, so I wanted to feature them tonight. We are on volume 31, and the music that we opened with is from the series, and I hope I say this right, it is Keiji Inai, and he is a Japanese composer, arranger, and orchestrator, best known for his work in anime and video games. He is affiliated with the music production company Imagine. He was born in Hiroshima, Japan, or Hiroshima, and studied at the a music school in Japan. I'm not even going to butcher that here. He dropped out to pursue studio work in 1999 while he was a college student and served as assistant musical director to a violinist. And in 2001-2002, he participated as a pianist manipulator and arranger on the soundtracks of some TV dramas and, of course, Visions. So I really liked his music. I hope you liked the beginning, especially the opening one. I thought was just so beautifully arranged. So really well done. And I'm going to start letting people on. Like I said, I have callers here. I think I said everything I needed to say. Hello, Rackin. Tour. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, actually. A little tired all day, but I got a little kick of energy before the show. Some excitement, I think, for some Star Wars. How about yourself?
The music's a pickup. The music was a little pickup. Pick me up. That's for sure.
Yeah, I feel that way about music. I feel like it can go either way. You know, music can either kind of mellow you out, or I mean, it has a wonderful way of doing that. Yeah. All right, we also have another caller. Hello, AP Taylor.
Hello, Sky. How are you? Hi, Rack.
Good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. So. We're back into the work days here, Sky. So, but going very well.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, I was a little spoiled because I was actually able to get a lot of stuff done on AP that I've been behind on because we had snow day. Yeah, we had a snow day Friday, and then we had a snow day Monday. So today was. I know. So the first day back was today, and it was like by the end. Yeah, it was really rough. Yeah, it's like you had that extra time off, but you're just like, oh boy, we're not used to this anymore.
Don't back up with me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure you do have to read and run. So let me.
I almost always do, unfortunately.
Oh, no, you know what? I don't even worry at all.
I will grab the poem I actually went and chose one of the prompts, the word prompts guy. So, and I'll just tell you which one I use.
Awesome.
So, bear with me. The one that I use is, I've just put it up on the board now. It's called, I can get my thing here, Forgotten Palette. And the quote, "You can't change the river's flow by casting a stone, but in harmony with nature, and you'll change together," end quote.
Awesome.
Here we go. Mrs. Forgotten Palette goes a bit like this. "Wide valley opened, barren and arid, a population of beetles and snakes. Unless seeking out a scarab, best to keep clear near the lakes. But there was little to draw the eye, a landscape of crazed shapes in rock. The heat few travellers did defy, their hats and scarves, winds mock. Easy to forget such a futile place, lost in the times when colours given on wind dust past the space, while yawning canyons lay riven. Yet, when the sphere rotated so far from the direct sun facing away, the change was soon created, while annals of the past did weigh. Small amounts of wet dew gave the soils just enough juice. The stems, not just a few, here colours were let wildly loose. There were purples and blue, grandest reds and orange as well. Fragrances brief, every hue. The flowers of old created a spell." End poem.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. It's hard to even pick a favorite part. I love how you speak of the heat of few travelers. And then you go into this wonderful personification, and then how it's like the wind. I want to say this is my favorite part, but it's actually pretty hard, so I'm going to pick a few. But "On the wind to dust pass to space, while yawning cannons lay riven." I really love that. I love the idea of the yawning cannons. I love, of course, the imagery that you put in, and how you speak of, you know, the change and how it's soon created. And you bring in the present, but also the past, and how the past kind of makes up what we are, and even in that of nature. So I love that. And then, of course, in the last two stanzas, when you said, "Let wildly loose the colors," I thought that was such a brilliant line. I really, really love that line. And it just made me think of that, you know, kind of loose hair flowing in the wind, but obviously you were speaking of these beautiful colors, so it created a very specific image in my mind, and I loved that about it. And absolutely beautiful. And it was, by the end, when you ended on spell, I couldn't agree more. It was very magically written. Really, really well done. And I love what you did with the quote. Absolutely brilliant. And I always, there are some, you know, even if, I know you are a Star Wars fan, but a lot of people don't always want to write fandom pieces. You know, they're not in the mood. They're like, okay, and sometimes it's just beautiful to take a quote and to just go with what you're thinking of. And that's why I always give that option. So I'm so glad that you chose to do that, because this is just absolutely stunning. Thank you very much. And Rack and Tour, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like that AP. My mind drifted away when you mentioned the scarabs, because I'm fascinated by insects. And, you know, I love the effect that they have on nature and you know, the path of things. Something so small can have such a dramatic effect on the landscape sometimes. Yeah. It's incredible. And you know, I don't know, something about a scarab, it's the mystique of, Egypt and, you know, that kind of a beetle and the, you know, what they did. But the overall piece, you know, on change and everything else was brilliant. And, you know, like Sky said, you know, it's inspired by Star Wars, but it's about nature. So, you know, there's so many parallels that you could draw to it that it's, you know, you could do a deep dive. It's fascinating. You know, wonderful use of language and imagery, as always. And your cadence.
You,
yeah, I appreciate it. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I don't know. I'm in a cadence zone at the minute. I don't know. It comes and goes, but it's there at the minute.
It's a wonderful thing.
So.
So I know you have to go, but do you want to plug any? Do you have a Saturday show or you want to plug?
Oh, we do. Yes, we've got a Saturday open poetry show, which goes live at 10 Eastern, and so we've been doing open poems on the hour. Guys, so we get about 12 poems, rush through them, and do a classic poem, and you're in and out within an hour, which is pretty cool. So,
sounds perfect.
Yeah, so that's what we've been doing a little bit and working well.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope you don't work too hard on your work day, and I hope it's over soon.
No. Yeah, it's another 4 hours to go, but I'm a bit slow because my head is damaged. So,
what is damaged?
Usually put stuff in my hand, my right hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mouth.
I'm speaking text and all sort of stuff, and because I've got plastic there, it's back in my hand. So.
As someone who can truly relate to that, good luck to you.
It's not fun. No, it's moderately painful, and it gets more painful if you try and use it because it's got a fast cast on it to try and stop you from doing that. So,
I feel better.
Cutting out a little bit. Yeah, I feel better, and thank you for calling.
Pleasure. Thank you. Have a great show.
You too.
Afternoon.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hi. All right. Star Wars? You just
Star
really
Wars.
Wanted you really wanted to talk about Star Wars, I know it. You were like, oh my God, I just want to talk about Star Wars today. That's all I want to do with my life.
Well, Star Wars is one of those things. It's its own world, but you know, there's so many avenues, so much that you could talk about. You could focus on one thing and end up down 20 different rabbit holes. Each one deserves its own deep dive. I mean, you know, it makes it more interesting when you watch it on the whole, too, you know. It's like backstory.
I know. I was just telling somebody. So someone had said, oh, they haven't watched this Clone Wars. And they really wanted to. They were like, yeah, I've been wanting to do that, but I haven't done it yet. And then I was like, well, did you see The Mandalorian? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, so you saw Ahsoka? And then they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you cannot appreciate that scene. You cannot appreciate Ahsoka coming in to The Mandalorian unless you know Ahsoka's backstory. And especially if you want to watch the show, Ahsoka. And like I said last week, I think it was, The Clone Wars was one of my favorite. It was just so amazing. So I told them, I'm like, you need to sit down and watch it. They expand on many characters, and they just, it's so, because they have the time to do it, right? Because there's 8 seasons plus the movie. So they have the time to stretch things out and do things and, you know.
You know, it's fun. I don't know, wouldn't even say that they're stretching it out. In the acting world, you know, kind of as a joke, you know, that they always say, you know, the actor turns to the director, he's like, what's my motivation? You've got a whole entire series now of the people's motivation. This is the backstory. This is what's supposedly driving you. So draw on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a brilliant idea. You know, it's applicable to, you know, the craft itself. So I really like that idea. For that reason alone.
Yeah, especially if people haven't read, like, the canon and haven't done like, haven't read the comics, they can, even if they did, they can really enjoy it on screen. And I just really enjoyed it. So I was like, you got to do this. But the thing about this, these two volumes, is they had nothing to do with the canon. It was just random, creative stories, like really creative. And some of the artwork, like, I hate when people say, oh, it's a cartoon. I just can't, and not that cartoons aren't wonderful, and cartoons themselves are wonderfully creative, wonderful art. But when you look at a show like this and you put it into the right thing, animation, and a lot of it, because it was, a lot of it was Japanese inspired, it was like more like anime. It was more like anime than anything. But they did, even in each episode had different artwork. So they went from, like, the first episode was, it was like a 2D pencil drawing. And my friend is an art major, and he knows more how to explain that. But when I was watching it, he's like, oh, my gosh, that's 2D. What they do is they 2D draw it, and they filter it through, and it looks like 3D. But it was, like, it was my favorite one out of this series. I mean, out of this season. Well, it's really a volume. It's not really a season. But out of volume one, the first episode was my favorite. Not only because I thought the storyline was great, but the artwork and the way they did it. And the lightsaber was just phenomenal in the way that it sounded and looked. And the way that they kind of, when they were dueling, they had, like, the shadow drop on everything else. And then you could even see the red saber lighting them both up. Like, you could see it lit up, but it also casted this red shadow around them. And with the pencil drawing / whatever they were doing, animation, it was just really just amazing, I thought. It was really, really, I liked this series more than I thought I was going to. I was like, oh, well. And I'm so glad that I really couldn't get into, I'm going to do the Resistance series, but I've watched a couple episodes, and I'm having a hard time getting into that one. I'm going to do it as, like, an after show, like, when we go back on every May of, like, next year, and we celebrate, so probably next May. I didn't put it into this lineup because, I just didn't put it into the lineup because I just haven't been able to really get into it. And I was worried that I was going to feel that way about this volume one and two, but it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Anyway.
That's cool.
So I have shorter clips because, like I said, each episode was its own little installment. And I have a clip for each episode. I think only one of them is longer. Most of them are short because they just kind of took the little, you know, gist of it. There are spoilers, so for those of you who, you know, there are spoilers. There's always spoilers on my shows. That's what it is. All right, so this was episode one. It was the duel. And it was really cool. There was, like, this Ronin character, and you don't actually really, he's not, you, he has a red lightsaber, but you find out at the end that he's just putting them into his lightsaber, the red stones and these, you know, the red kyber crystals, and he's doing it, I think, to throw off his opponents, because he's actually helping people. So I don't actually think he's a Sith, because obviously he wouldn't be fighting another Sith and trying to save other people. But he just does it to ward off, to kind of say, oh, be afraid of me. And he goes and helps this town, and that's basically the whole thing. It's just this fight. So, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and press play on that, and we'll enjoy it.
intended to set up camp at the abandoned outpost on the other side of the mountain. Last remnants of the war, willing to take whatever they want.
You don't look like one of the villagers who dares face me.
Just a simple wanderer.
It's been a long time since I killed a Jedi. Your lightsaber blade is red! Coward!
Unfortunately, I am not a Jedi.
I told you to throw down your weapons. Don't the lives of the women and children of the village matter to you?
I'd like to thank you, sir.
Think nothing of it.
Such humility. You must be one of the Jedi Knights of legend. Please, sir. Are you willing to tell me your name?
So he ends up giving the little boy a red kyber crystal. So he basically, the Sith that he ends up killing, he takes their kyber crystal, and you can see that he has a collection of red kyber crystals underneath his coat, and then so you know that he's killed a lot of them, and then he ends up giving it to the boy. So it's interesting. And then also a thing that you want to take into consideration about these episodes too, these little installments, they're all over the place in the timeline. So it could just all over the place.
It's a vacation.
All right. Hey, we've got... Hey, Hatter.
Hi. What's up?
How are you? How's it going?
I'm sore today. I'm hurting a little bit.
Oh. Why are you sore?
It's that time of the month.
There's some, some background noise.
No, that,
I'm not sure what that is.
I have background noise?
Oh, I don't know who. Somebody. I don't know who.
Oh. No, I just think when the pressure changes outside, all the places that I had surgery start hurting, and you got pressure change between storms.
And the biometric pressure. I have that with my asthma.
It, you know, it's it's almost a monthly thing, believe it or not. I don't know if it's the moon or what. But...
Hmm.
I know.
All right. Well, you're here. So that just made your day 10 times better. Because you're,
yeah.
You know. Oh, and I have to re-stick something. Okay, so I meant to tell you, but I keep forgetting. Rack and Tour. Do you remember you were like, why do you have the Joker under Star Wars to just because it's Mark Hamill? I did not label it that way. It's under Joker laugh. He just found it. It's not under SW. So even though I defended myself and said I can mark it however I want, I did not actually mark it that way. So I just wanted to clear that up a little bit. All right?
Okay.
So before you start telling me how to mark by things.
You lose.
Ooh.
Good day, sir.
Good day. I said good day.
Y'all know that's from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It's Raj from the Big Bang Theory. I said good day. Oh, no, from 70s Show.
That's not what I pressed. That's not the button I pressed, man.
I know.
Oh, you're pushing buttons.
Yes.
I
think that was Gene Wilder, right?
Yeah,
the original Charlie, not the remake.
Yeah.
Comic
yeah.
genius. The comic genius, man.
Yeah. So we're celebrating Star Wars. We're going to be doing Star Wars for like the next 5 shows because this is the thing matter. As much as I love Star Wars and I could do Star Wars all the time, I want to end this series because I want to roll out. I can't open a new series until this series is done, and I want to roll out the new series that I have ready to go. Well, it's not really ready to go, but that I would like to do next, and I can't do that in good conscience while I'm still running the Star Wars series. So even though we will have Star Wars every May, which is when Spaceballs will be coming out, I would like to get through the 35 episodes that I have set for the series, and then the other ones will just be celebrated in May. So if you're like, why are we doing Star Wars every single show? It's just because I'm kicking them out. Plus, I mean,
Star Wars. It's because Star Wars is so expansive. It's not because of anything else.
I know. Well, I have this problem where if I do something, yeah, it's like a character trait, flaw, obsession. I don't know what you would call it. Gift. Sometimes it's a gift. Yeah.
Idiosyncrasy.
Okay. Yeah, and sometimes, like I said, sometimes it is a gift, but I can't do anything half fast. I've got to do it completely. So if I do Star Wars, I need to do, I can't just do, oh, we're going to celebrate Star Wars. I need to do it the in-depth, chronological, 40-episode expansion pack. Because it's either like I have to do it in the entirety or it's not even worth doing. But, you know, I did 13 or 14 episodes of Game of Thrones, and those were like, those series were my favorite series to do so far.
I have this thing. It's a problem. I have a problem. I try writing to the Star Wars prompts, and I just can't do it. I'm lost. I just don't know enough.
Listen to what I'm saying to you, because I say this to you all the time. Are you ready? Focus.
Yeah.
You can pick any quote from any episode. All you have to do is click the links that are right in the topic board,
and you could write about whatever
you want. It doesn't have to be about Star Wars. I don't care what poem you bring,
yeah.
as long as it goes to
yeah,
a
I know,
quote.
But...
I know. I mean, I don't say no. I don't say no to Star Wars poems. I do love Star Wars poems, but I bring
yeah,
so much of the fandom. Yeah, I bring so much of the fandom
okay.
with the clips and with talking about it. I'm okay if the poems aren't necessarily, quote unquote, fall in line with Star Wars, because the whole show is focusing on that, and I play clips, right? So, like, AP Taylor just brought me a poem. It was about nature, and he used a quote. I'm okay with that. Like, I don't even mind, because I like poetry. Yeah.
How do you,
I just want,
you, could,
I just,
you could write a poem. You could write a poem about the Addams Family. You know Thing from the Addams Family? That's actually Luke's hand.
It's whose hand? It's Luke's hand?
Yes, that's the he co-stars. He really moonlights his thing on the Addams Family. That's Luke Skywalker's hand. That's Mark Apple.
You mean the latest movie, the redone movie?
Rock and Tour, as much as I love you, all right? No.
Okay.
I just see. I just want to please you. I just want to please you. It just seems like it's not.
Oh, yeah, I know, because it seems kind of crappy to come to someone's show and not do a poem on their topic. And I understand
yeah.
that kind of, like, I understand that thinking, but I'm telling you, that's not how I run these shows. So, I feel the same way. Like, if someone puts a topic board together and they have a specific... So, when I do the...
Yeah.
When I do my down the tubes, I like you to bring stuff on
yeah.
topic. When I do,
sure.
or at least if I have sea stars, at least bring me a poem about stars in general. Like, you know what I mean? So when
gotcha.
I do the Disney, you know, when I do the Disney twist and everybody gets their own prompt, and it could be like the Mad Hatter drawn as like Tim Burton or something. Tim Burton does do the Mad Hatter. That's a bad example. But you know when I do those special storyboard twists and we had
yeah.
steampunk Disney and we had the Walking Dead Disney. When I do those ones, I do want poems that are geared towards that prompt. If I do the D&D shows, I would like D&D poems, but every other show that I do, I bring so much of it, I'm okay with just, that's why I put it in there. But everybody's so afraid because everybody's like, well, I don't want to be like that crap person, and they put this work into the topic board, and I bring something completely different. That's not how it is. Yeah, I do the topic boards for me so that I have something to look back on and click, so that if ever I want to write a poem about another character, I have it all set up. Like, it's my organizational problem. my need for everything to be in order. It's totally okay. I want you to bring a poem. It could be just inspired by the quote. And believe it or not, you're paying homage to the show by using the quote. So that's what I appreciate. So...
Okay.
And that also means you could bring a pre-write. If you ever be like, oh, I don't have time to write, get a quote, go find a poem that fits that quote, and bring a poem. Like, that's it. It's so easy.
Do I have to still list the quote?
Yeah, yeah. I would appreciate
yeah,
if you list
the
quote so that when we're on air, you could say, this is from this quote, and it could be, that's, yeah. So that, I would appreciate that, yes. Definitely.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So while you're looking for a poem,
I am going to play
the next clip. And where am I? What is this one from? This one, oh. This one's really cool. This one's called The Tatooine Rhapsody, and it basically was like a music band that wanted to like get popular over, like, it was just so random that wanted to, like, it's just so random, but it was so funny. And it was just this band that wanted to be popular across the galaxy. So it's fun. It's got music. Enjoy. Yeah.
It's the band.
Here. I have business with the slug. Come along. Jabba's been looking for you. If you resist, we'll disintegrate your friends.
Tell me, does Jabba want my autograph? Let's rock 'em!
This is the third time now.
Such passionate fans we have.
Yep, that's just the price of fame. Hey!
I know, we never finished the set.
Well, we live to play another day.
Yeah, I suppose you'd rather die for your art.
Guys, enough. It'd just be nice to finish the show for once.
We've been followed.
Persistent, isn't he? Okay, punch it!
Wasn't that the most random thing you've ever heard besides Boba Fett Vet?
It sounds like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the Wild Stallions, or whatever their group is. Can't play.
Oh, I love Bill and Ted's. I haven't seen that in so long. I remember I loved that when I was a kid. I probably haven't watched it since I was a kid.
Excellent, man. Listen to each other.
Awesome. All right. Hatter, did you find me a poem?
Yeah, I found one. I think I could go ahead and let me bring it back up. I'll post it. And you're going to ask, what's the connection?
Well, if you have the quote, then I don't need the connection. You just need the quote, and then
I'll be able to figure it out. Okay, you have to give me a minute to go get which quote, but I'll post it. I'll post it.
You're so
funny.
All right, I'll do my next one. Listen, you should. I'm going to send you this. You should really watch the video. Did you watch the video, the Sith Bandit duel?
Some of them.
The artwork is really good. I was going on and on about it earlier. Anyway, so I'm going to play this next clip so that you get ready. And this episode was pretty cool. And it was called The Twins. And it was like, I think I did a pretty good job cutting the scenes where you could follow the storyline. So I don't think I really have to explain it. But I thought, like, this, the first one and this one were two of my favorites. So the Sith Bandit duel and then this one, the twins, was really cool. And I liked this one because, again, the artwork was really done. And I believe they were directed by different people. So it stands, like, every episode had different animation. And this one was very, really played with light and dark shadows. I really, really enjoyed it. Plus, the storyline I thought was really cool. So I'm going to go ahead and press play.
Final adjustments on the Gemini-class Star Destroyer. We are ready to deploy and are awaiting your command.
At last, the moment arrives.
Ever since you and your brother were delivered to our care, I have watched you grow. And now, I will finally be able to witness you complete your mission. I must admit, it has been quite the journey.
The journey has only just begun, B2OM. With this new power, my brother and I will bring order to the galaxy. Something no one else has been able to accomplish. This is our mission as twins created through the power of the dark side.
Master M, Central Control is reporting that final adjustments to the hypercannon have been completed and will soon be operational.
Will the weapon's firepower be at full strength?
Yes, it is charging now. High purity energy must be extracted from our power source in the central core. It is the same power that is transferred into the dark armor that you and your brother, Master Kare, wear. Once the refined dark energy is unleashed through the ship's hypercannon, it will easily be capable of destroying the planet or any resistant star system. However, I am concerned about the effect this prototype dark armor could have on your physical body, as well as that of your brother.
There's no need to worry. From the moment I was born, I've been prepared to sacrifice everything for the dark side.
Oh, Master F, your allegiance is inspiring. I will be forever the humble servant to you and your brother until the day my function ceases.
I will hold you to that. Now let's surprise those peace-loving Republic fools. Ready the hypercannon.
Hypercannon, prepare to fire.
I have just received an incoming alert from Central Block B-25. Power source from the reactor core appears to have been stolen. We cannot charge the hypercannon.
What? But only Master Am and Master Kari can access the reactor core chamber. Master Kari is gone. Where could he be at a time like this?
Kari.
Don't worry, R2O. Everything's gonna be fine. They won't find us. Okay, you told me so.
Lord Kare, please return the power core. This is your last warning. Set for stun and open fire. What? Don't give up. Keep firing.
So sorry. Come on, R2O. Let's get out of here. The ship is right where we left it.
Where were you planning on going with that, Kare?
To a galaxy far, far away.
Don't be a fool. Hand me the power core, and I'll forget this ever happened.
Master Kare, this is quite disappointing.
Now hand it over.
I refuse.
What do you want with the power core? Are you planning to turn it over to the Republic?
The Galactic Empire, or the Republic?
I couldn't care less about either one of them.
You really don't care.
Yeah, even if I explained it to you, you'd never understand.
You fool. Are you out of your mind? Come, as you wish. If you won't hand it over, then I'll take it by force.
Now keep firing. Great. Now get ready to punch it. Really? So you have a bad feeling about this.
Die!
Arturo, what's happening?
You're wrong. It's a tractor beam.
Yeah.
There is no...
He's too strong in the force. He's going for the power core.
Come to me.
If I'll be able to try something so reckless. You're right, R2O. It's just like you say. There is no try, only do. I can make this work!
Yeah.
even though it was not on the canon storyline, it didn't stop them from being funny. I don't know if you caught punch it. Do not try, just do. And you got a bad feeling about this? I enjoyed that. All right, Hatter, are you ready?
I can't find, did you switch topics or something? I can't find the quotes. I was reading them earlier. I don't know what I did.
Just put your phone
I know.
Off. It's okay. Next time, just copy and paste the poem. I mean, paste the quote. It's okay.
I'm curious. Are they still there? Did I went to the same show.
Visions Volume 1 and Visions Volume 2. So tomorrow, actually, we're going to be, I'm glad, you know, I wasn't going to, I was, they were going to, oh my gosh, I can't speak. It was going to be broken up, but since Raconteur, was kind of like, hey, now they can be back to back. So you might have clicked on Visions Volume 2, maybe? But it's okay. I don't know, maybe. But Raconteur can relate anything to anything. So you're good. Raconteur is, like, brilliant at that. All right, so go ahead. I can already tell you what he's going to say already. Go ahead.
Okay, I pulled Sniper in the Dark. It goes like this. Incarcerated days followed only by the blind, thoughtless streets of purple haze beneath the neon signs, scoping unseen targets behind hidden shadowed marks, silent signals screams the fear there's a sniper in the dark. Hearing sounds along the hedgerows that fill a smoke-ringed sky, whispered words from godless souls, silent prayers for those that died. Frightened minds that wander through broken centered lines, blinding suns that follow you, casting shadows left behind. Echoed ghosts that wander among the distant trees, faces paint the ceiling tiles, dying to be set free. Tell the tales that history saved, wrapped with lies of twine. Read the stones of undug graves marked with detoured signs. Scoping unseen targets behind hidden shadowed marks, silent signal screams the fear there's a sniper in the dark. Mm-hmm. And poem. That's as close as I could tell.
You got the dark side going.
I was on mute. Man, I was going to say... So I was going to say, I don't want to steal Rack, and I was actually saying on mute, I don't want to steal Rack's thunder, but he's probably going to say you have the Battle of Light and Dark Side on here. So I thought this was brilliant. I was on mute when I started talking, so thanks, Rack and Tor, for stepping in there so it wasn't just silence. I love how you brought in the sniper. It was very ominous. It was kind of like... silent signal screams. Of course, you've got that bits of alliteration in there. The fear, there's a sniper in the dark. And the thing about, it's almost like I feel more scary when something's out there and you don't know where it is, what it is. You just know that it's going to get you or affect you in some negative way. And that's scarier than something that you can see up close, that you can put a face to, that you can, I feel it's scarier. And I think the unknown is very scary. So when you're kind of saying that there's something in the dark and at any moment it's going to shoot. And I think that is the way that you put it was really well done. I also like the frightened minds or the wander through broken centered lines, blinding suns that follow you, casting shadows left behind. Because you could be talking very, tangible and say, well, this is really about a sniper. But you could also be talking about something that's not very tangible and metaphoric. And I like that about it. I like how you can take it either way, because when you say those two lines, when you say casting shadows left behind, it kind of reminds me of, like, memories, how memories haunt you. Especially when you go to echo ghosts that wander among the distant trees, faces paint the ceiling tiles, dying to be set free, trying to run from that past. So there's different ways that you can take this poem, and I like that about it. I like that, yeah, you could be talking about war, you could be talking about something very real, but you could also be talking about something in your mind. And I like that duality, because I think it can reach a lot of different people that way. Really well done, and... Rack and Tour, what do you think?
Yeah, that's I would hone in on the that word sniping, because like you said, it can be taken more than just finding a target, picking something off. So you're not necessarily talking about shooting somebody, you know. And part of the art of it's definitely an art form of being a sniper is camouflage, because you know if you see them coming, then it's too late already. You know, they didn't do their job right. So the idea of them being able to hide in plain sight, or hide, you know, someplace that they're going to be able to pull the shot up within the limits of their equipment, is what makes it such a technical profession, that it's really. When you think of it, and nobody knows, you know, nobody necessarily even takes credit for you know the things that they snipe, that they do. So all that wrapped up around the mystique of it, and you know the feeling of the darkness. It's a great poem, Hatter.
Yeah, I remember writing this. I was late for the contest or the prompt. I can't remember. It was quite a while ago. So it was probably late for a contest. It didn't make the deadline. And I think it was fear. What would you, the scariest situation or something like that. And I couldn't think of anything more frightening than being pinned down by a sniper that you cannot see.
Yeah.
He's pinging these things.
The hair on the back of your neck stands up.
You know, I just, God bless the soldiers, man. I mean, to go through something like that, you know, it's got to change you. It's happening every other day or every day. Just go, man. I missed the war by a couple of years, the Vietnam War by a couple of years, and I respect the hell out of the guys that went over and served. I think I would have been very good at it. It scares the hell out of me. Well, yeah.
You'd have been hiding behind the elf doors.
Well, I was an athlete. I mean, a very good athlete. Makes good soldiers. But
what did you play?
Didn't have to. What did I play? Football and track and baseball. Ran track basically because after every football season I had knee surgery. And I would run track to get my strength back for spring training and summer sessions. Mm-hmm. So basically, I was a football player, but I did run track. I was in track. All I saw was heels and butts. I would get invited to the invitation. I would get invited to the invitationals, which I was proud to say that I was invited. But I didn't win anything. Man, these guys are state athletes out here. Blazing. I always ended up in lane one or seven, you know.
I was in track, but in high school, but I didn't, I wasn't a runner, but we still had to run, like, during practice. We had to run a certain amount around a track, but we weren't.
Yeah.
I wasn't a runner. I was a thrower. So I threw jav and discus. And I threw a little bit of shot put, but it was just a little bit too much on the arm. But and I did discus just because you have to. But I really loved jav. Like I went to the tri-states for jav. I did pretty well ranking on the throwing the javelin. And they would always be like, you throw like a lefty. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's because I'm ambidextrous.
There was one thing. There was one thing that I was able to contribute to the track team being on it was I ran third leg of the quarter relay and the quarter mile relay and the mile relay. I ran the third leg, so I did get some awards, but nothing individually. It was team.
Mm. Awesome. All right, so thank you for that poem. I think now's a good time to... Actually, no, I'm going to play the next clip, and then we'll go from there. I'm plugging the shows. The next clip is episode 5, and there's only 9 episodes. So I mean, it's just a really short series, because each episode, like I said, is no more than... I'm sorry?
I said halfway done.
Yeah, halfway done. So where was I? Yeah, 9. Okay, so the Village Bride, like I said, I think I did the clips that you could follow the storyline, so I'm just going to go ahead and press play, and then I'm going to bring a Star Wars poem I already did, but I don't think Hatter's read, so now, I mean, Rakitor, I think you've heard pretty much all of it, but I mean, you're welcome to hear it again, too, but I'm just finding ones that I'm like, well, Hatter didn't come on this one, so he probably hasn't read it. And I've only ever brought my Star Wars poems to my shows, so we'll dust them off a little bit. All right, this is The Village Bride. All right, and this one's a little creepy.
We are the sky. We are the forest. We are the river.
We are the sky. We are the forest. We are the river.
We are one. Majina, may you rise.
Rising. It has been since a long time before we were born, and it will keep on setting too, I suppose, long after we're gone.
I guess so.
The village is just ahead.
This world's been terribly exploited.
The Separatists stripped them all of their resources, yet.
And all just for war.
That's all that war is. Nothing but loss. Take her away.
When the Separatists left, you would have thought that would be the end of it. But no.
That only made room for a different kind of horror.
The Separatists left their battle droids behind, but the Raiders found them and reprogrammed them all. They formed an army of their own. We couldn't have stopped them if we tried. They took all the resources we had left. And what's worse, they wanted the village chief as collateral.
But his granddaughter volunteered to take his place. And they're coming to take her in the morning.
This drink isn't strong enough.
Stop. What do you think you're doing? Apologies. I hope he didn't trouble you.
No. I understand the grief of the village runs deep. Imagine being imprisoned by invaders to save your grandmother.
Oh, that poor sweet girl. May their Majina be connected to each other for all eternity, and they'll never be separated.
This isn't right!
Saku!
Are you really okay with this, sister? You shouldn't have to carry this burden alone. It's wrong. Some of us are ready to fight.
We've already discussed this.
Not enough. You may have given up hope, sister. But not all of us have.
Saku, you have to stop.
We're going to bring them down. We'll fight back. For our families. For the village.
Fighting is useless.
The land is on our side.
I've already made my decision, sister. Please understand.
What kind of wedding is full of mourning?
Here they come.
Poor Haru. Come away from the window, dear.
Are you the village chief's replacement?
Yes. I'm coming with you in his stead.
I like this planet. You'll serve as collateral to avoid any unnecessary conflict. Although, you'll forgive me if I appear to be overly cautious.
Saku!
He found Beth.
It would appear my caution was well warranted. I can't have anyone trying to ambush me now, can I?
I'm sorry, Haru.
It would appear that she is the leader.
Please, no! No one will try to resist you anymore!
No exceptions, I'm afraid.
Nature and you'll change together. The people of this world know that well. You know that the breath of life becomes wind and will always respond. Majina, may you rise. And may the Force be with you.
What are you doing? Shoot them! Kill them all!
Roger.
Where'd that come from? Where are they? Awesome. I'm actually thinking back what I said and play my next clip right away because I can't stay up too late. And I started a half an hour later than I wanted to. I wanted to start at 9, but I couldn't get on the computer at that time. But 11 o'clock really is by bedtime. I'm going to go a little over, but I don't want to go, like, all the way over. So before we plug, I am going to do one more, and then we're going to plug. And this one is the Ninth Jedi. And I got to be honest with you, I don't remember this one. I'm sure when the clip was playing, I'll remember, but I don't really remember. So it must have not been that memorable. But I'm sure when it plays, I'll remember. So go ahead, and then we're going to plug shows. This one's a shorter clip. Here you go.
Many generations have passed since the light of the Jedi protected the galaxy. Since then, an era of war has arisen. But Margrave Juro, ruler of the planet High Yislam, has a plan. He has recently begun mining for rare kyber crystals within his territory. Using these crystals, he seeks to restore the Jedi by reforging their ancient weapons, lightsabers, which have since been lost to the galaxy. However, ancient dark forces conspire to subjugate the galaxy. They hatch their own sinister plan to hunt all suspected Jedi and bring forth a new era of Sith rule. The Sabersmith. So you're the one with the lightsabers, then?
Yes, but my father was caught and taken away by the Jedi Hunters. Please, use these to help me save him. But, where is the Margrave? Is he not here?
Hold on. Do you know the Margrave?
Yeah, I've known him ever since I was a baby.
So then, does that mean you might possibly know where he could be right now?
Something doesn't feel right. I don't think we have a choice. We'll have to wait for the Margrave to arrive.
It was the one I thought it was, but I remembered it right away. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the one I thought it might be. I'm like, I don't really remember this one, but then I did. All right, so I am going to plug shows, and then we have Deborah Lee's poem. First, let's see, the next show is mine, and that is tomorrow, and we are doing Vision Season 2. So, again, it's a 9-episode short little volume series of just little stories, really, like an anthology, if you will. And we are celebrating that tomorrow, and hopefully I'm on at 9, and it might be 9:30. And that's about it. You can write to any of the themes, characters, and or quotes. And then on Thursday, Sweet Pea is back. She's back. Okay. When Nature Laughs. Tonight we'll be celebrating Comedy Wildlife Photography winners after last week's weekend holiday rush. Oh, this is a postponed show, so if you have a poem for this, she has a bunch of cute, funny pictures. There's this cute one who looks about an owl. He looks very exhausted. go ahead and go have fun. She goes live at 10 p.m. Yeah, and then on Friday, we do have open poetry with Linda, so come check her out. She goes live at 10 also, and it's open, she was live at 10. She opened poetry, and then like A.P. Taylor said earlier, open poetry on Saturday with A.P. Taylor, Deborah Lee, and Hatter. And I do not think we are on Sunday. So this Sunday, this Sunday we're off. And then on Monday, we're back with Deborah Lee, Personal Prompt Monday. And it's the C one that was postponed, What Lurks Beneath. And she's got some really cool, scary photos. Pick one, and everyone gets their own prompt. It goes live at 10. And then that brings it back to me, which is the 7th. And I did have my lineup set, but it got pushed up. So stay tuned for that. It will most likely be The Force Awakens. It will most likely be The Force Awakens. So episode 7. So we'll be going into those final three films to end, well, not really end, but to stop the chronological order for a while and to do only celebration shows. So there's all that. All right. Deb's poem is on the board. And I usually don't read it for her, but she specifically said go ahead and read it. So maybe she just wants to listen to it and wants to hear it read. So I am going to read it tonight. She wrote to the quote, which I thought was a really brilliant quote, by the way, "You can't change the river's flow by casting a stone, but live in harmony with nature and you'll change together." And then also to the quote, it's all in the best interest of the planet. And this is called, sorry, I was just making sure. I don't think I need to read that. Okay, this is called "Harmony Can Heal What Pollution Steals." Plump cashmere clouds float on breezes, sopping up fumes and soot. They absorb wet residue like fat sponges, soaking with airborne chemicals too, filling with toxic moisture. Rain from those cloud sprinklers water the planet, poisoning plants and insects, animals, and people too. Farm crops and animals mutate, triggered by the butterfly effect. Then extinction snatches animals, killed by pollution, by climate change, pesticides, and man. Waterways carry the chemicals too, in the tides of the world's ocean, marine life, seaweed, reefs, fish, and mammals are dying off. Now, just like the stones that skip on the water's face, ripples rings spread out and drop, sinking into the soggy sediment, depositing toxins. But the flux of the rivers and seas flow on, carrying pollution to shores around the globe. The planet is fighting back. It's time for everyone to pitch in so we can live in harmony with the earth. Clocks are ticking. And poem. Thought this was great. She would call it a soapbox poem. I call it an advocacy poem. We always have this argument, her and I. It's like a friendly argument. I'm like, it's an advocacy poem. I thought this was beautifully done, and it's so true. And it's like people hear this every day, and I feel like a lot of people are numb to it, you know, and they're just like, well, that's just the way it is. What can one person do, right? And then, of course, you can think about, well, what is your carbon footprint and how can you limit your one-use plastics and what can you do? And you're like, well, does it really matter if I just do this? Well, it does because it all adds up. And if every person just stops thinking like, well, it's not really going to matter if I do something, then it would change, you know. And I think that when you start seeing those little changes, that's when you start seeing the big changes. So I definitely think that it needs to be brought to the forefront more. It needs to be on people's minds. And what better way to bring it than poetry? Poetry is meant to give yourself a platform and meant to have your voice being heard. So it's great that she's using it that way. And I love the way that you took the prompt. And I love the quote you picked. And really well done. It was an honor to read for you. Like I said, I normally don't, but you specifically said do. I usually wait for hear it in your own voice, but I'm glad I read it. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, well, the idea of you know, what can one person do? Like you say, it's not one person. It's just doing what you're supposed to do. And well, if it's bad, it's bad, whether it's one person or 100 people doing it. You know, when did we get so cavalier that you know, everyone decided to ignore, you know, what's good and what's bad and just, you know, well, I'm going to do it anyway, you know? So, anyways, as far as the poem goes, though, you know, and you, like you said, an advocacy poem, you know, we need to take care of the earth, and that's kind of unavoidable. So she said it in a very poetic way.
Excellent comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I like the way she skipped the stones on the face of the water's face. That was a good line. As far as contributing to causes like that, sometimes it just would make it impossible for you to do anything. It's almost like you got to make it a very personal quest to just, and look at it that way, that you're contributing back to society, because it's like the homeless. We used to collect coats. My wife and I used to collect coats all year long, so that when winter came, we'd go down by the river or the camp and hand out coats, just give them away. And we felt good to do that. Then find out that they made it against the law to do that. Or maybe it's some ordinance or something. It's exasperating. It's very frustrating to try to do things. But you're right. You just got to do your part, whatever you're most passionate with. And people these days don't have that passion in them. They don't want to commit. Or they won't do anything without applause.
That's the thing, too. Yeah. So I got my mom, she always goes to Cumbie's and gets coffee from Cumbie's. And so finally, and she keeps coming over to my house with these Cumbie's cups. And so she was like, oh, I forgot a coffee today. And then I said, oh, okay. I was like, I'm going to go out. So I'm going to get you a coffee, because she was visiting me. And she stayed home with the munchkins, and I went out. And then I got her a coffee, and then I got her a coffee in the tin coffee mug, right? So I came back and I got her the coffee mug, and then she's like, what's this? I said, now you don't have to use a plastic cup every time you go. You just refill this one. You bring it in, and you refill it, you get more coffee, and you can just wash it out and bring it right back in. And she's like, oh. She's like, that's great. I'm like, yeah. So it's little things like that, you know? Like, it's little things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Small thing.
All right. Awesome poem, Deb. Thank you very much. I still might read mine, but for now, I just want to jump into the next episode. I really think this episode was really cool. So I felt like it had a vibe of like Pinocchio, because this was a robot, you know, like a droid. So it was a droid, but he wanted to be a Jedi. And I don't know, it just really had a Pinocchio feel, like if you become a Jedi, then you'll be a real boy, or you'll be a real Jedi, rather. And I thought it was very, I enjoyed this one a lot. So I'm going to go ahead and press.
Hey, when did they, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, yeah, are there female Jedis?
Yes, Hatter.
Are there?
Yes, there are.
There is.
Yeah.
At what time during the franchise did they create female Jedi?
Pretty early. I'm going to go find out the exact first one
was
for
it?
You.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
You were a
imagining being a Jedi again, weren't you? Well, enough of that.
That's because I want to become a Jedi one day, traveling the galaxy, defeating evil.
You must first accept reality. When it comes to the future, you see, there's the distant, but also the immediate. Adventure, excitement. I'm afraid that being a Jedi is not as glamorous as it is in your dreams.
It's kind of hard for me to explain, but I feel like something is calling out to me. I keep having these dreams, and in them, I'm a great Jedi.
Then you must find yourself a kyber crystal.
Hmm? Oh.
There is one somewhere on this planet.
This thing?
The crystal is the core of the lightsaber, the weapon of a Jedi Knight. I've heard young Padawans, the apprentices of Jedi Knights, must search for their crystal first. So if you really want to be a Jedi, you will need to find a kyber crystal of your own.
If I can't find the kyber crystal, how am I supposed to become a Jedi?
Clear your mind.
Hmm?
And use the Force.
The Force?
Yes, the Force is what gives a Jedi their power.
So, where do I find the Force, then?
Everywhere. The Force is present in all things. They're here. I need you to stay hidden. Do not come out for any reason.
So is this the Force? Please don't deactivate me.
CO3, I leave this child to you. I am one with the Force. The Force is with me.
Professor Mitaka?
Proven that you have grown up. by the will of the Force. Toby, rise as a true Jedi, and may the Force be with you.
Master Mitaka.
Awesome. All right, so Hatter, what I can see from this, that technically the first female Jedi was brought in Star Wars The Old Republic, and she appears in a hologram. Her name is Kala Rim. So it was from the canon, and there you go. But the first female lead Jedi appear on screen was Ahsoka, which is probably why I really love her.
So which movie is that you mentioned for?
The first one. It's not. It's in the Old Republic. It's in books. So you have to read the books. But Ahsoka is the first female lead on screen, and she's introduced in the Clone Wars, and she has her own live action show now. So we just did Ahsoka a couple weeks ago. I love her character. She is Anakin's Padawan. And then of course we have Rey, which is another female lead in films for Jedi. And a lot of people, and hey, Rack and Tor, remember how I was like, no, I believe this is true, and we were going back and forth on it, talking about it. Well,
yep.
So this is really creepy, and I probably should save it for the 7th, but so it was Star Wars Legends that it was from. So in the Star Wars Legends books, which are not part of the canon anymore, because when Disney took over, they changed what they rewrote. They just excluded the Legends storylines, and
okay,
they just did what they wanted to. So in the Legends canon...
How come?
I don't know. A lot of fans weren't very happy about it. But in the Legends series, Han Solo and Leia had 3 children. Jason was the one who was the dark side. Yeah, this is just from the Legends. And Kylo Ren isn't really based on Jason, but he is based on the fact that Jason was the one who went to the dark side, but they had 3 children. They all died. And Luke Skywalker had a son called Ben Skywalker, which is Kylo Ren's name is Ben Solo. And again, but his storyline is different. So they kind of just disassembled that, but then they just excluded that whole series of books out of the canon because now it doesn't fit into the canon anymore because Disney took it over and they just said, no, this whole thing doesn't exist. So that's what I was trying to
okay.
Yeah,
thank
which is a lot of fans were in the ad, yeah. I don't know. I love Ahsoka. And by the way, Rey, the other female. Actually, I'm gonna get to in the 7th. I'm gonna get to that in the 7th. I have a few thoughts on Rey, but I'm gonna save that one for the 7th. All right, I am gonna go ahead and play the next one. I'm actually gonna play 2 in a row. Oh no, I only have one more. Wait, do I have 2? Yes, I have 2. I have 2. I'm gonna play 2 in a row. And then that's it. That's all I have. And then I think I'm going to read my poem after that, and then we're closing up. So,
stay tuned for Sky's poem.
Stay tuned for my poem. Here we go.
A Jedi.
So then, are you a Sith?
The Sith became far too obsessed with trying to outwit each other. It resulted in them completely neglecting their destiny.
themselves, they are now extinct.
Are you saying you're not a Sith?
Let's not speak with our mouths, but with our blade.
Run, get away, then.
I guess you are not him after all. I sense someone strong in the Force, but it's not you. It must be the other. No matter. Hunting the Vamgar, it was not a challenge. But if I kill you, your master will surely show himself.
I won't be as easily defeated as a Vamgar.
I certainly hope not. Delaying the inevitable with such field of defense. How incredibly boring you are.
Welcomed the Galactic Empire, who in turn plan to capitalize on everything this planet has to offer. However, Imperial industry has proven to be detrimental to Tau's natural environment. Richly steeped in nature and tradition, the people of Tau grow increasingly frustrated by Imperial oppression.
There may be something wrong with that clip. It's still playing. All right, well, sorry, guys. There's something wrong with that clip. But it was pretty, I'll just tell you the synopsis. The one of the children aren't really the guy's child, and they're friends, and he kind of adopts her, and then the one that is his biological daughter goes dark, and then he ends up giving the one that isn't his biological daughter his lightsaber that's been passed down, and she tries to go and save her sister that was supposed to be her best friend, that they grew up together, and like I said, the father adopted it, the other one. And then if I remember, she goes off in the distance, and it doesn't really have an ending. It's like almost like the origin story of what's going to happen, so which I thought was also really cool. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to read. And Hatter, you have the poem? Do you have the poem, Hatter? Do you have the poem?
Do I have another poem?
No.
Oh,
do you have the poem?
Yes,
I'm reading it. You haven't read it. I specifically picked this one because I don't think you've heard it. This poem was inspired by the comic Age of the Republic, Count Dooku 1, when in the guise of fatherly friendship, Dooku tricks and murders the Jedi Knight Jackson. And this is an example of when I've read the comic, I was inspired to write, which always seems to be the case. So this one is called, I don't think I've ever written anything off of a film. I think it's always after I read something. But this is Jack Zim. It is in a potter's field. I speak in ghost-like holocron. Not aged wisdom of the ancients, rather my own teachings. Not as wise, but wise enough still. For through my failure, perhaps you might find something to salvage. My name is Jack Zim. I'm a Tagorian and Jedi Knight, or I was, or am I still? I am so new to this existence that calls itself death. Well, I am ashamed to say I am not sure of what to claim, if such titles of past and present still exist, still matter. What I do know is that the past, that is my memory, is engraved upon my soul. And what I recall is far too great to relive in such short greetings. So I will impart only what is relevant to this, my last lesson. I was a youngling in the Jedi Order when Dooku was the Padawan of Grand Master Yoda. It was in reverence that he became a Jedi Master himself and took Qui-Gon Jinn as his apprentice. It was a great loss to the Order when Dooku claimed his birthright as the Count of Sereno. There was, of course, whispers, secrets, and shadows, perhaps a new order led by Dooku himself. It wasn't until a mission on Sulis that our paths yet again crossed. In favor of transparency, I will tell you that in many ways I was still that boy, in awe of his legend. It was this that blinded me, and of course, well, the Count has always had a talent for words, like little slivers of kyber crystals dancing in the caves of his mind, ever luring, ever crooning, ever cunning. Take heed and beware the silver tongue of the Sith. End poem.
You know, I want to call it the Sith sense.
Oh man, you mentioned the ghost, and I was like, oh, that seals it. But yeah, wow, that's got a lot of foreshadowing and a lot of hints into you know, what happens to these people, what kind of motivates them, and where they come from, which is what you love to do. And what I like about, you know, the way that you run the show so much, you know, because there's so many little nuances that get overlooked sometimes. You know, some people, they accept the broad strokes and they just move on, that they ignore, you know, some of the little subtleties. And I think you miss out a little bit on things like that. It's like, you know, when somebody does something and you realize, you know, but he's connected to this and he used to be that, it makes it that much more meaningful sometimes. I don't know. I mean, you could still appreciate it without that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you're kind of missing a little bit. Anyways, this Uber fan, this is a great piece.
Thank you. Thank you, Rack.
What'd you think, Hatter?
Yeah, I agree. Being lost on most of these, going back and restating who these people are, you know, putting names to the putting character to the names. I would love that job. Naming all these new. There was one part in here I wanted to ask you about. I didn't. What's this? It was. I want to put it in the middle of this last season. Maybe I don't see it. Oh, how many? Okay, since I'm just ignorant to this whole thing, the one said, "I want to be a Jedi when I grow up, or I want to learn to be one." Can you do that? I thought they were basically you were born a Jedi, whether you like it or not. That's not the way it is. You can become one.
He was a young thing. Yeah, it's how many midichlorians you have, you know. So they go out and you find, and they take you from your family, usually young, very, very young, so that you don't have any attachments. But he was saying that he was a youngling, so he was a Padawan, and Count Dooku was already an apprentice to Yoda. And so he's saying he was in awe because he grew up knowing Count Dooku, because he was a youngling in the Order. So does that answer your question?
He knew Dooku before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, was there ever a name of a character that you thought didn't fit? Like Dooku and Padawan and Qui-Gon Jinn?
Qui-Gon Jinn. I love Qui-Gon Jinn. You know who Qui-Gon Jinn was played by? Liam Neeson.
Who?
Okay. Liam Neeson.
Oh, is
and
that
he
right?
He still does the voice for him. Yeah. He came back for a lot of the actors came back for Clone Wars and did the voice. Christopher Lee, who did the voice of Count Dooku, or played Count Dooku. Christopher Lee came back.
He was in the original original Star Wars. He was
Count Dooku. Yeah. So he came back.
Oh, that was
voiced
his name. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. So he came back and voiced him for the Clone Wars. So the Clone Wars got a lot of the people who originally did play them to come back and do the voices. So that was one of the great things that Clone Wars did. Yeah. All right. That's it. I really like I love the side characters. I just love the little stories and plot lines. So this is just one of them. All right, so I'm going
to
wrap
them all again. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to, if you're going to pick one to watch, just watch The Clone Wars, right? It's great. Thank you all for coming and hanging out and being part of the show. Excuse me, I am very tired. I'm very tired. I was like, I'm cutting it at 11. It's 11:26. You guys are too much fun. I will see you tomorrow, hopefully at 9, but it might be 9:30. You have to keep an eye on my shows because it's at the mercy of my surroundings. It's a moving target. But if I ever go on at 10, which I hope I don't, I will only be doing an hour show. We'll be doing something racing through that. But come back tomorrow for season 2, or rather volume 2 of Visions. Hatter, you can go on, look at the quotes and do what you will with
okay.
it and bring a poem. And
we could dress up as our own character.
I mean, you could. I have a cool picture generator thing, and I have a picture of me as a Jedi, or something like that, or something. I'm gonna have to put it up. I'm gonna have to send it to you. They're pretty cool. Yeah.
I want the picture of you in the gold bikini.
Oh my God! I am not in a gold bikini. That's surely not the case. Surely.
I picked up a lightsaber.
Do you know what's hilarious about that is that as much as everybody was like, oh my God, she was so sexualized, she was like, she told George, she's like, why am I always dressed like this? No one's ever going to know that I'm a woman. And she actually complained about her always being in pants and doing that. So he did that for her. As like, because she was always yelling at him, and so he was like, "Here you go. Now everyone will know you're a woman.
You want to be a woman?
All right.
So I'm gonna go ahead. Yeah, yeah. And she did. She that every teenage boy's fantasy at that age, right? At that time.
Oh yeah.
The midichlorians were flowing.
Stay within the lines.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and press play to the outro music and have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Sky.
Bye.
Not messing with the volume.
Too loud, man.